Welcome to Amplified Houston, 90.1 FM KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option one. I am your host, Anna Coffey. It is my pride and privilege to serve as the CEO of the Women's Home. And this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Alden Clark and Doug Parker. But first, Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer Road, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop. All right, on with the show. Let's get into it. Alden and Doug, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Welcome. All right. First, let's address the elephant in the room. This is usually a show where we interview women who are doing hard things. But today, the two of you are on the show, and you are decidedly not women. Both of you actually identify as men. Can you please share with our audiences both of your journeys as allies of women? Because that is what you are, and that's why you're here today, as allies. So, Doug, let's start with you.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, and it's an important one and a personal one for me. It started back in high school. My very first job was working at The Gap. It's also where I met my best friend, Diane, who is still my best friend to this day, some 40 years later. But, you know, we realized not long after working together that she made 10 cents an hour less than I did.
Wow.
And this was in 1986. Uh-huh. And we laughed about it, and it seemed small, but as we got older, it stopped being funny. And, you know, that 10 cents represented something much bigger. It was a subtle message to both of us, to her maybe that her work was worth less, and to me that I was automatically valued more as a male. And it just baked in for me. It really stuck. And, you know, so as my career progressed and I became intentional about advocating for fairness, particularly for women, I pushed for equal pay and opportunity. And later, as I was a leader, I ensured that promotions and comp and development were equitable. You know, and so it's one of the reasons this resonates so deeply with me. Many of the women that you serve at the Women's Home face inequities in pay, mm-hmm. opportunity, healthcare, housing, and it's just not okay to me. So, I think Women's Homes, you're interrupting that cycle. That 10 cents difference to me just shaped how I show up.
And
why I'm an ally. To me, allyship means action. And it's just the way we should celebrate and the way we should just not ignore that exists.
Thank you, Doug. And thank you for your allyship. I feel like there's a title in there, like the 10 cent difference or something like that.
Right.
There's an essay in there somewhere.
For sure.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Alden, it's your turn. Tell us what makes you become an ally. And listeners, for those of you who haven't listened before, Alden's been on the show before. He is a huge supporter of the Women's Home, has been involved for, 20 plus years, has done all kinds of work, especially around faith formation, because Alden is actually a reverend. He is a preacher of types. So Alden, go ahead. Tell us about your allyship.
You know, this is probably going to be a whole other show at some point in the future, but I've been wrestling with the word ally for a couple of months now, and I get the definition of it, but I don't consider myself an ally. I identify as a feminist man. While I support and encourage and walk along women, I'm willing to take a bullet and fight and march and scream and holler because I'm a feminist. And a lot of that stems from one of my favorite books, Half the Sky, where women make up 51% of the population, but they don't make up 51% of the people at the table. And until that change happens, I'm going to continue to fight as a feminist to make sure that women have a seat at the table. I'm happy to give up my seat and as a white man of privilege and let women take over. The only hope I have for the future is that happening.
Oh, thank you so much, Alden. I love that about you. And yes, you are a feminist. You've earned that title. So happy to have you on the show today. We seem to be having just a little bit of a audio quality issue. So we're going to see if we can take care of that. And then we'll be back to Alden in just a minute. So the two of you are co-chairing a significant project for the Women's Home called Faces of Change. Tell us a little bit, Doug, how did you get into this project with Alden?
Well, interestingly, Alden volunteered me. So he's been involved with the Women's Home for many years. And when we were together having tacos at the Velvet Taco and looked across the parking lot at the cottage home, and it's like Alden said, gosh, that would be a great place for a mural. What a fun project for you and I to do together. And so that's really how it started. I certainly knew about the Women's Home, but I'd never done any volunteer work. But Alden was the catalyst for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Alden, what planted the seed in your mind?
It's the seed of creativity. I just was looking at this big blank wall, and it resonated with me that it's time to make a mural. As that seed grew, I was like, it's time to have a mural that honors the historic evolution of women in Houston. And so I thought, I'm going to bring all these together in one place and honor women from Houston's past that have not had a voice. I want to make some noise. I want to bring some attention to these women and have them and their stories told. The silence needs to end. I'm here to tell their stories. And as an artist, the best way to do it is through art.
That's so amazing. It's just such a brilliant idea. I remember when you came to me with the idea and I was just so excited, and I could visualize it. As soon as you said it, I could visualize it. And I was like, yeah, we need that. We definitely need that. So, Doug, why don't you go ahead and tell us about this project? So we've already disclosed it's a mural.
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, it's really designed to be a large-scale public project that will honor extraordinary women who shaped the city's culture, culturally, civic, the social landscape. You know, what we're doing is inviting community members to nominate women who've made a lasting impact. We've engaged with a female muralist who lives here in Houston, and our goal is to honor and recognize kind of that collective voice of women who have been important. We're taking nominations for women in the that have served in a meaningful, impactful way and really shaped the city. And what's important to me about this project is it's going to raise critical funds for the Women's Home and support the programs, but also just, I think, raise awareness for the organization and the women of Houston who have been such an important part of our history.
Yeah,
so to me,
yeah.
A tribute and a catalyst, really.
It's an exciting project for sure. Doug, what do you think is the message of this mural? You know, we've talked about how it can shine a light on some of the women who were critical to Houston. What more, though? I mean, so listeners who are new to our program, the Women's Home serves women who have three things in common. They have some kind of a mental health condition combined with a substance use disorder, and many of them have experienced homelessness. And so these, I always say, we're like the safety net to the safety net.
Right.
So these are women who basically most of society would just throw away because they're considered, they've got all the stigma and they're considered to be weak and, you know, can't help themselves and basically, you know, throwaways, really. And at the Women's Home, we see them completely differently. We see them as strong and capable and able to have agency in their lives. We see a woman who has come in and tried multiple times to be sober and to get her mental health condition under control. We see that as a strength because some of them have tried six, seven, eight times, and then they come back to us, or they find us, and we say, "Gosh, how strong are you that you were able to try all those times, and now you actually are trying again?" I mean, how many of us have that kind of strength? So we really cheer them on and become their biggest fans, and try to put a mirror up to what they are and what they've done and what they can be. So in that context, tell us about the mural and what you think it can share with them.
Absolutely. I think at a foundational level, it's a story that Houston's story can't be told without women, because women were such an important part of this. But deeper than that, we hope through our nomination process and the women who were evaluating to potentially be on this wall, that we have women who had diversity, who had or adversity, who had challenges, as women in the history of Houston certainly did. And so I hope that the people who come to the women's home and the people who drive by the women's home and see this mural understand, by seeing the women who we represent on the wall, that they get a little bit of inspiration from that. If these women can do it too, maybe at a time in the early 1800s when women were not valued very like they are today, certainly, but that they'll see the images and maybe read the stories and hear the stories about. That women can push through and work through difficult times in their lives, and I hope it gives them inspiration.
Okay, great. Yes. Okay, so we are going to take a quick station break here to take a few seconds to talk about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work to bring you the show are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option one to become a sustaining member today. We are back with Doug Parker and Alden Clark. And we have a bad echo.
There we go. It's me.
Okay, Alden, great. Welcome back, Alden. So before the break, we were talking about Doug was talking about how this mural is meant to be kind of inspirational and meant to be kind of a representation of the power of women in the history of Houston. Can you share with us a story? I'm thinking about the Allen Brothers story, if you could share that with us.
So I've lived in Houston for 40 plus years now. It's my home and I love this city. And I've always heard about the Allen Brothers who came to Houston and discovered Houston. And through this project, all of a sudden I realized the Allen Brothers never stayed in Houston. They showed up and then left and moved to Mexico City, leaving their wife behind, Charlotte, who said, "I'm staying and I'm going to build me a city." And having never heard of her name, never heard of her story, I find myself in deep gratitude to a woman I knew nothing about, that history never shared about, that schools in Houston don't talk about, to giving me a home and a place where my life has thrived and grown beyond my dreams of what I ever wanted to accomplish in living in Houston. So I want to say thank you to Charlotte Allen.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, until you told me that story, all that I had no idea either that Houston was actually founded by Charlotte Allen. I mean, the Allen brothers get all the credit, but she was the one that did all the work. So Alden, why do you think that public art like this mural matters so much for community identity and civic engagement? You reflect on that for a minute with us, because you are an artist and a creative. What does the impact of the arts have in a community?
I was downtown this weekend, and the astronaut mural that's on the side of a building.
Yeah.
It is incredibly beautiful. It is just wonderful. And I just sat there, and all of a sudden I was engrossed in this piece of art, because that mural reflects who we are also. We are the space city. We are the home of NASA. We are people who identified the future and moved towards that future through NASA. And just a simple mural as that really tells the story of Houston. So in art, we're drawn into art, and we're drawn into story through art. And this piece of art is going to tell the story of women who founded and changed the face of Houston.
Yeah. And it connects us in a way, I think, collectively to our identity. And so, you know, women are still to this day overlooked in history. I mean, Charlotte Allen being a good example of that. And so I think, you know, there's something else that Doug touched briefly on that I want to highlight here. This is not a project that is just Doug and Alden's project, right? You have a large host committee that is getting involved, and you've started to reach out to other members of the community to be a part of this in the nominations process particularly. So Alden, tell us about that nominations and what people can do if they've got somebody that they're thinking about for this mural, because we haven't decided who all the women are going to be, right?
No, and we can't even confirm that Charlotte Allen will be one of those women. There might be somebody more than her. But we're looking for women who changed the face of Houston. That's the title. And as I have traversed the city in the last couple of months working on this project, I will sit with an artist, and she starts telling me about, oh, well, this was the first artist to do this. This is the first artist to ever do this. The first Texas Supreme Court woman in mm-hmm. Texas came from Houston. And I found this out from a bunch of lawyers. So the energy of all these people piling in all these stories of women that have never been told is incredible. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. So anybody and everybody can go to the womenshome.org, click on the Faces of Change page. And if in your genre, if in your orbit is a woman that you know of historically, submit the application, and it will be coming through the Women's Home. Our committee will be looking at the names, evaluating them. And then we're going to put it out to kind of a public vote to let the whole community decide who are the top women that need to be portrayed in the Faces of Change.
Wonderful. So because, as Doug mentioned earlier, this is a fundraising effort for the Women's Home. We've got some exciting news, actually.
Can I tell?
I was going to let you tell. Absolutely, Alden, go right ahead. I was just going to tell our listeners we've got some exciting news on the fundraising front. And Alden, take it away.
So last week, I got to attend a breakfast with three incredibly powerful women and share this mural project with them. And at this point, she is anonymous, but through sharing the story and the excitement we all had around breakfast, she opened up her checkbook and said, I will do a matching fund for $100,000 for this project.
Which is amazing. So this anonymous donor will be matching dollar for dollar up to $100,000 for this project. So if this project seems exciting to you, please go on our website and sign in. Again, our website is thewomenshome.org. So very exciting news. So we expect this to be a really big support for our projects that, you know, in turn, then support women who are reclaiming their lives, the very women we're talking about today. So very exciting news. So Alden and Doug, I'm gonna ask you both this question. What do you hope this mural will inspire for future generations of women and community leaders? Doug, you go first.
Yeah, you know, I hope more than anything, it normalizes leadership for women, that it really helps any woman or girl or ally who sees this mural understand that, I can do something important with my life. I hope a young woman walks by and says, "That's a place for me. There is a place for me shaping our city." And I hope young men see it and understand that championing women strengthens everyone. I just think if we plant that, I hope this mural plants some seeds of confidence, ambition, and allyship. If that happens, we'll have done our job.
Wonderful. Alden, what about you? What are your aspirations for this mural for the future?
I would, yeah, Doug hit it on the head. If it inspires one woman to stand a little taller, be a little more creative. I look at Mama Nympha's, one of the names submitted so far, who was a widow with five children. Here's a
Amazing.
Latin woman, long before time allowed her a voice, who decided not to play the victim and everything, who said, "No, my kids are going to grow up and become great things." And all of them have. And she had did great things for the city of Houston. So that inspiration, if it inspires one woman to step out into her greatness and her vision of what she has for herself, then the mural has achieved its purpose.
And I would imagine that most people from Houston know who Mama Ninfa is, but if we have people listening from far away, Alden, just give us a quick primer on Mama Ninfa.
She started making tortillas and selling them and then opened up a restaurant. And now her kids all run restaurant empires all over the cross of the state of Texas. It's just an incredible story of generational change that one woman created.
She's widely regarded as the mother of Tex-Mex, the cuisine itself.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
that's not just a Texas thing. You can get Tex-Mex all over the world.
Yeah.
And that's thanks to Mama Ninfa, who is also, outside of Houston, she's relatively unknown, which needs to change. So, all right. Well, so Alden and Doug, I have another question for both of you. We're going to go back to Doug. Doug, what's been really rewarding about this project for you?
So much. I think most importantly for me, it's the community's response. We have 100 people on our host committee, and it took a day to build that host committee. So people care about this project. They care about the mission of what we're trying to do here. And they, it, so many people I've talked to know the women's home. And I was so proud of that, talking to people that we don't have connections that end up with that would let me know that they are already aware. So I think that's really exciting that the women's home was pretty well known, in communities that I didn't have any idea would know about this organization. But just our opportunity to celebrate women in a really big way and also raise awareness. I think Alden's volunteerism over the years with you in the women's home is important to me by proxy. And we're just excited about the a way to build a tribute.
Oh, thank you, Doug. And Alden, what's been most rewarding for you about this? Because you've done lots of projects for women, and you've contributed so much to the women's home, being what it is today. But this particular project, what's been the most rewarding part?
Creativity, and that my creativity personally has flourished and expanded. I wake up in the middle of the night with just hundreds of ideas. So it's been rewarding to see my creativity rewarded. We had an art opening kickoff event not too long ago, but probably one of the most rewarding part is I have a partner in this, and I can talk and get excited and just go off the deep end. But when you have somebody like Doug, a real partner in life who will take your ideas and ground them and make them real, and then he can express that, "Well, we need to raise money, people, because this mural ain't going to paint itself." And he can take that. So the reward for me has been seeing my partnership grow in ways that I could have not predicted a year ago. So I want to thank Doug really for that part of it.
Well, and I have to thank you, Alden, for bringing Doug to the table and for, you know, bringing all of his expertise. And you're right, he's a very grounding person. And I want to let you know that you better not ever make us choose between the two of you, because we want both of you now at the table. So don't make us choose.
That's easy.
That's going to happen.
Easy, and thank you for the opportunity.
All right, wonderful. Well, this has been just a pleasure. So listeners, if you want to get involved in this mural project, go to thewomenshome.org and look for the Faces of Change. Or if you know Doug and Alden, just hit them up. Remember that we have this wonderful, wonderful matching opportunity. So every Alden and Doug, any last messages for this you want to send out there?
You just hit the nail on the head for me. $1 equals $2. There's no amount too small for anybody to give and say thank you to the women of Houston.
Absolutely.
Agree wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. You know, you said it. We've got it. We need the funds to make this happen. And if you know me and you live in the city of Houston or even outside the city of Houston, you're going to get a call or an email. So $1 means $2.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer Road in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives and hopefully appear on a mural one day. I want to thank my guests, Alden and Doug, and I want to thank KPFT for helping us produce this show. And I want to also let people know that they should stay tuned for Gulf Streams with Weston Twardowski for the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. This is Anna Coffey, Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, over and out.
Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Zora Neale Hurston, capturing the soul of a people. Born January 7, 1891, Hurston grew up in Eatonville, Florida, one of the first all-black incorporated towns. Her mother died when she was just 13. After she worked various jobs, pretending to be 16,